the second book that was given me that I read was The Screwtape Letters. And I understood that absolutely immediately.
I'm Lee Mulflaherty. Welcome to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Back in 2013, I had the opportunity to speak with Max McLean, the founding and artistic director of the Fellowship for Performing Arts. Most know him as the producer and director of the dramatic play version of The Screwtape Letters. In fact, when I spoke with Max, that play was our main topic of conversation. Because it is touring again as I re-release this interview in 2015, I felt it was a great time to make sure you know about this opportunity. So be sure to check the show notes for a link to the current touring schedule. My listeners are very familiar with C.S. Lewis, and most, if not all, have read The Screwtape Letters. So let's start with adapting the novel for the stage. When did you come up with the idea, and what was some of the process and challenges?
The idea for adapting the classic novel by C.S. Lewis, Screwtape Letters, into a stage production came to me. I've been doing theater for a long time and actually did quite a few one-person shows. And this theater professor from Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, saw one of my earlier works and liked it very much. And I had never met him. A few weeks later, he sent me an email telling me how much he appreciated the work. And in the body of the email suggested that I would make a really good screw tape. And I didn't know if that was a compliment or not. But that's how it began.
What was some of the process and challenges?
You know, Lewis never intended it for the theater. So it doesn't have a theatrical arc, you know, that is pretty traditional. And secondly, we had to secure the rights from the Lewis estate. You know, we would have a go of it. So we did get the rights. And then over a period of trial and error, we came up with a theatrical storyline that actually is in the book, and followed that really closely so that we could engage an audience theatrically. You know, the thing about reading a book as dense as Screwtape Letters is, you know, when you read it, you can take your time with it. But on stage, everything is immediate, and you have to play it and have all the design elements, the sight, the sound design, light design, costume design, set design. We have the character Toadpipe on stage with Screwtape, who manages all the letters. All of that has to work instantaneously for the audience to receive it, get it, and move on as the story unfolds.
We're recording this in mid-April 2013. Of course, if you're listening to this later, be sure to visit ScrewtapeOnStage.com to find the latest places. So again, ScrewtapeOnStage.com. Now, let's back up and tell a little bit more about yourself. You're a president and founder of the Fellowship for the Performing Arts. You've obviously have your life centered around the theater. How did it begin, and when did your faith begin to play a role?
Well, I came to the theater first while I was in college to overcome sociophobia, the fear of being in front of people. I realized that I'd have to overcome this fear, and so that took me to the theater department and began taking courses in oral interpretation, and that's when the bug bit. That would have been in my senior year of college. I came to faith in Christ the year after I graduated from college, and after reading the New Testament, I think the first couple of books I read were given to me were Lewis books. One was Surprised by Joy, his autobiography. And at that time, I didn't understand a word of it. But since then, it's become one of my favorite books, and I refer to it regularly. The second book that was given me that I read was The Screwtape Letters. And I understood that absolutely immediately. It was like, oh, I know this fellow. He's been in my life for a long time. So Lewis was part of my Christian experience almost from the very beginning.
Well, focusing back on the Screwtape Letters show itself, Has there been many changes over the years? Obviously, the story itself hasn't changed, but what about adjustments to the presentation?
We've had three separate productions of the Screwtape Letters. The first one was in 2006, and it was not where it should have been. Needed quite a bit of work. We didn't use Toad Pride properly. We didn't use the design elements properly. I think the script was a little too dense. So we went back to the drawing board, raised more money, brought in a really crackerjack design team to help us with the physical production, and then really honed in on the script. And the main thing that we did, now 98% of the words that we use are directly from the book, but there is a hidden story arc to the book that is useful as theater, and that is that the book and the play are essentially a hunt story. Screwtape is the predator. The patient is the prey. He is the object of Screwtape's desires. It's interesting that Lewis would use a word such as patient to describe this person, because you and I think of a patient as someone in need of healing, of being made well. In Screwtape's vernacular, a patient is someone in need of corrupting, of bringing to damnation. So it's a hunt story, and so we follow two story arcs. One is what happens to the patient who begins the play as being indifferent to spiritual things. And by the end of the play, he's quite devout, and this in spite of all the efforts of Screwtape to ruin him. And Screwtape's very good at his job. And that's, of course, because of the presence of Screwtape's enemy, God. And then the other story arc is what happens to Screwtape, who begins the play as this kind of master of the universe character who loves the way he looks, loves the way he talks, loves the way he dresses, smartest guy in the room, pure pride. And he ends the play as a defeated devil, and this too is because of the presence and activity of Screwtape's enemy, God. So, you know, the real protagonist, the real hero in the play is God. The play is about God.
What impact has inhabiting the character of Screwtape so often had on your mental attitude or your views? Is it easy to leave such a diabolical character behind when you go home?
Well, Screwtape's a very confident person, and he's very relaxed. He really believes he's really good at his job, and so these are, you know, outwardly good traits, but he uses them for diabolical purposes. Of course, he wants to ruin people. Of course, the play is satire, and satire is... you know, gives a little bit of a distancing element. But I would say that the meat of the play and the intent of Lewis was to, you know, echo St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:11. We must not be ignorant of his devices. He masquerades as an angel of light, and therefore we need to guard our hearts and put on the armor of God. And those elements have been really good in terms of making me aware of how spiritual warfare works in a way that I wasn't quite as existentially or viscerally as aware as I should have been.
Thinking about the reception that you've had for the Screwtape Letters, I've read comments about you saying people from a variety of religious backgrounds or even no religious background have expressed enjoying the play. What's been said, or why is this so?
We play traditional performing arts venues. We were in New York for 9 months at a traditional off-Broadway theater. You know, we're reviewed regularly by the major papers, so we position ourselves as a mainstream theatrical event. And so we assume, and it does happen, that a diverse audience comes. Obviously, Lewis has fans, so they come. But they also bring their friends, and that's good, because people are always looking to something that expresses their Christian faith in a winsome, intelligent, thoughtful, profound, provocative way. And Lewis does that extremely well, and Screwtape does that extremely well. And so what we do is execute at a very high level to make people comfortable bringing friends. So the kinds of responses that we get, almost everybody enjoys it as a fun theatrical experience. That's very provocative, very funny, very thoughtful. And then within that, people, and usually a little bit after, because one of the great things about theater is it makes you pull down your guard a little bit and you enjoy it. And so after the event, you realize what Lewis was saying. And there's a sense of conviction that emerges. And for some people, they've expressed that it's been a life-changing salvation event, which is very exciting to me.
Now, is there any particular unusual comment or fan letter that you've received that comes to your mind?
Well, we get them. I don't remember the details of it other than, you know, people have said that, you know, that they had no idea what they were coming to, had never read the book, didn't know what it was about, and how big of an impact it had on them, and how it has made them reevaluate their worldview, brings them to reading more Lewis, his other works, and recognizing that spiritual warfare, spiritual darkness does exist, and that there is a need to come to the light, and the light is Jesus. And, you know, we get letters along those lines, and have got that, yeah.
Well, now, this has been touring for many years, and I assume it's going to be for several more, but has there been any plans to do a video before you end or afterwards?
Well, we'd love to, and would have done so already if we had the rights. Our rights are limited to theatrical presentation, so we don't have audio or video rights.
Now, I've read that you have at least a couple other productions in the works. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yes, we have written a theatrical adaptation of The Great Divorce, Lewis's follow-up piece to The Screwtape Letters, which is essentially the antithesis to Screwtape, where, you know, where you have the demon speaking to you in Screwtape in your mind. In The Great Divorce, you have the spirits speaking to you to make you press on toward the goal to win the prize that God has called you heavenward in Christ. That's the goal of The Great Divorce. Of course, the resistance to it is pretty high in the book. But we've written a draft, got it approved by the C.S. Lewis Estate, and we just did a three-week lab in March. A lab is a kind of a technical term in the theater to put actors, you know, in a rehearsal room and work on the script to see if it works, and then to get some ideas on how to cast it, what the physical production would look like. And then we invited a couple of invited audiences to see it and give us their feedback. And as a result of that, we moved the process ahead by miles. And the next step is to do another technical term, a developmental production of it in the summer, which would be private, small, but adding the physical elements to it. And it would also have, you know, audiences and get their feedback. And as a result of that, I think we're ready. Then we'll know what we have and be ready to put it on its feet.
Very interesting. Now, just speaking more in broad terms, why is it important for Christians to be involved in the arts?
I think the arts are the, you know, Lewis says that the arts are the organ of meaning, or the imagination is the organ of meaning, and it's access to the arts, primarily, literature, music, fine arts, performing arts. Reason is the natural order of truth. And what I interpret he means by that is that, you know, Christianity has a body of knowledge, and it asks us to assent to certain truths. For many people, those truths are meaningless. They don't know what it means. So there's no way they can embrace Christianity. And what Lewis is so good at, and what his works are so good at, and why it's so appealing to an artist like myself, is that he engages the imagination to bring meaning to things that are only concepts. And so I think that it's super important for Christians to be involved in the arts, to pave the way, to sow the seed in the imagination, so they can start asking the question, could this be true? All this, you know, this body of knowledge of Christianity, could it be true? And to touch them emotionally, inspire them. That is what's exciting about why Christians should be in the arts.
Now, this year, 2013, is the 50th anniversary for Lewis's death, and he continues to have an impact or influence our culture today. Why do you think this is so?
I do think, primarily for what I just said, his ability to engage the imagination and to have the imagination as the primary portal to receive the doctrines of the faith. And that is his great, great legacy, is the imagination. He was certainly a rationalist, but I think that his imaginative works draw people to his rational treatises, such as Mere Christianity, Problem of Pain, Miracles. The way he's presented them artistically have just been, it's made the doctrines of the faith wonderful, joyous, exciting, wanting people to learn more, because it's taking you into this realm of joy, of longing, that the heart gets to the place where the heart desires. They can feel like they can be met in Christ.
As our time is getting away from us here to close out, you've touched on this some, but what do you hope the audience will take away when they see the Screwtape Letters performance?
A lot. I mean, it's very convicting. In Mere Christianity, there's a place where he says every time we make a choice in our life, that central part of our self, the part that chooses, changes just a little bit. And over the course of our life and the innumerable choices that we make, that central part that chooses is slowly becoming a heavenly creature or hellish creature. And Lewis wants us to be very, very aware of how that works. And it depends on how you feed your mind and your heart. And if you've, you know, in Screwtape, he says famously, Screwtape says famously, it's funny how these humans picture us as putting things into their minds. Our best work is done by keeping things out. And he certainly wants to keep out prayer, worship, fellowship, good reading, especially the scriptures, and wants to, you know, put in all kinds of noise and distraction, so that you'll be satisfied with stuff that ultimately do not satisfy.
Well, we've been talking with Max McLean on the Screwtape Letters. He directed this and is involved in the production. Max, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
And I hope you, the listener, enjoyed my chat with Max McLean and will consider checking his site to learn if the stage production of The Screwtape Letters is coming to a city near you. I'm William O'Flaherty from All About Jack, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. As mentioned at the start, this conversation was recorded in 2013, and so it's no surprise that they did already have an adaptation of The Great Divorce on tour. When you visit the ScrewtapeOnStage.com site, there is a link at the bottom where you can follow to learn if it is currently touring. Find that link and other useful links by consulting the show notes. Accomplish this by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or the location where the audio files are hosted. That's allaboutjack.podbean.com. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. At the EssentialCSLewis.com location, you can still get the podcast. Additionally, there are a variety of articles there as well, including a daily fact quote and quiz about C.S. Lewis. Something recent I want to make sure you're aware of is the fact that you can now help to support this podcast to make sure it keeps going and to make it freely available. There is a link in the show notes about this. Pledges start at only $1 a month with some great rewards. I hope you enjoyed today's show enough to want to share it. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online at EssentialCSLewis.com or at the AllaboutJack.podbean.com location. Recent shows include a conversation about C.S. Lewis's list, the 10 books that influenced him most, also a chat with Carolyn Curtis on a title she co-edited entitled Women and C.S. Lewis. Older shows to consider are a two-part roundtable discussion about Tolkien's book, The Hobbit versus the movie versions, and the podcast version of a talk I gave last year called What Lewis Never Wrote. Again, you can hear those and others by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllaboutJack.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info@EssentialCSLewis.com.